So a little Chassidus Shel Torah here from the Sifsei Tzadik, he says that Parshas Ki Teitzeh is the most abundant parsha in the entire Torah as far as mitzvahs is concerned, and he calculates that there are ayin dalid, which means 74 mitzvos, which you won't find in any other parsha in the Torah. And he sees a symbolic message, al piderech hachsidus, in the ayin dalid, which is aid, which means testimony. And he writes, he says that when a person learns Torah, that's an intellectual mitzvah, and on one level it's just the moach, the mind that's involved. But he says the learning of Torah goes way beyond just the intellect. And it really lightens the heart. Lighten mean not lighten the weight of or the burden of the heart. That's what we're going to talk about today, about weights. But Ya'iru, it lightens Miloshan Ya'ir. There's a light on our lathe. And this adds a whole other dimension to our mitzvahs and to our study of Torah. It becomes a situation which the Torah sees it, God sees it, as if I fulfill the mitzvahs. So imagine, he says, it's now a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, before Din, and obviously we want to get in as many zchuyot, as many mitzvot as possible. So he says, he quotes the Gemara says that if you have to bring a korban ola, and you can't bring the korban, there's no Beis Hamikdash, so you study the laws of ola, ma'alav ha'kosekilu hikri va'ola, the Torah considers if you brought the ola. He says, now that it's before the Yom HaDin, he calls it Hanora, he calls it the awesome Din of Rosh Hashanah. Tzrichim l'chazek l'vaveinu, we have to strengthen our hearts. So the intellectual study of the mitzvot is meant to add a light to our hearts. V'nizke, and through this light in our hearts, litkarev, to come close to Hashem Yisbarach. And he says that's the Lashon Eid. You know, if you put the ayin together with the dalid, it's testimony. And it's testimony that we are dedicated to Kvod Malchus Yisbarach, to bring the glory of God. He says, you'll find that if you count the number if you look at Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in the Torah, you'll see two gigantic letters. You know, part of the Mesorah is that certain letters are smaller than others, larger than others. The ayin of the word Shema is much larger than the other letters of the Torah. And the Dalit at the end of Shema, which is meaning the word of Chod, is also an enlarged Dalit. He calls those Ayin Dalit Osios Rivavos. Rivavos means larger, which represent Kabbalat Ol Malchus Shemaim. Kabbalat Ol Malchus Shemaim means when I'm dedicated to bring out the glory of Hashem, and the way I do that is by fulfilling His mitzvot. And he says, Ha'ikar, he says the whole purpose of creation was for Klal Yisrael to testify and glorify Hashem's kingship, kingdom in this world. And how do we do so? Through the mitzvot. Through the mitzvot we get closer to Hashem and we glorify His name. And he says that we can do that through the study of the mitzvot. So today we're not going to have a chance to study 74 mitzvot, but every week I try to find one mitzvah in the parasha. And if there's a suggestion to learn a particular text, Aaron, you had some idea. If anyone else has any idea, because I find it, frankly speaking, a bit of a burden to come up with a topic every Sunday. You know, I don't have 50 hours to do that. In any event, what you have in front of you is an essay on the mitzvah of, again, written in this week's parsha, of Lo Yiyeh Lecha Bekischa, that you should not have in your kiss, in your pouch, so to speak, Even for Even Gdola Uktana. And what we're talking about here are the regulations that govern measures and weights. And what we want to see is, as you'll see in the introductory paragraph, the issue of precise weights and measures has been something that man has faced with for thousands of years. It's not new. But what we want to study is, why is this issue so fundamental in the Torah perspective? The Torah has so much to say about this, and the Torah is very severe about a violation of incorrect, imprecise weights and measures. And during the course of our learning today, I'd like to address the following questions. Number one, why is the Torah so concerned about it? Number two, do these issues have relevance to us today? And, you know, we have all sorts of measures and weights. And the question is this prohibition limited only to the office or to the market where you're doing what we call the financial work? financial world of commerce, or does it apply even to my own home? And we have all sorts of weights and measures in our home. And one of the issues that can come up today, for those of you who may have babies and you have baby bottles, the baby bottles have measurements to it. And you would think offhand, there's no problem if that's imprecise, because what does that have to do with cheating anybody? Medicines. Also a meter, you know, those things that they use to measure things.
Even just a simple ruler in my kids'
even a ruler, correct, in a kalmar. All these things, believe it or not, these are not simple matters. And even if at the end of the day we can come up with a heter, the question is how or why. So what I would like to, just for the, you know, for the sake of procedure, so to speak, I'd like you to look in the Hebrew text. Try to follow me. I'm not going to be, we don't have time to read through these. You should have four pages. We don't have time to go through the four pages of the Hebrew. But because of the fundamental importance, I think, of this topic, and again, even though it's 1/74 of the mitzvah content of Parshas Ki Tetzé, I think in our context, we should be studying all the laws that apply to weights and measures. I'm going to try to summarize this article for you, paragraph by paragraph, and you can take a look at the Hebrew and see if you can find it. Keep in mind that when we talk about the Torah's approach to weights and measures, you will see that the issue of weights and measures applies not only to creating these measures and these weights, but also to owning them. So that means, if you're familiar a little bit, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent with the laws of Avodah Zarah, it's bad enough if I create an idol, but there's an additional law in the Torah for possessing an idol. And we're going to see here is that the Torah is so meticulous and demanding about these weights and measures that you're not allowed to even own the weights and measures.
Like a bathroom scale that's off?
Correct. Even a bathroom scale, we're going to have an issue about. It's low pashut. We're going to have some indication that this is not a precise measure so that everyone sees it's not precise. But before we get to that, I don't want to jump ahead. I want you to take a look at the way this article is structured and what are the basic paragraph and section structure. You'll see, first of all, on page 1, we're going to have a section called Chumrat Isur Mishkalot, the severity of measures and weights. The next section, which is on page 2, is going to be a section about Chova Al Hatzibur V'Al Beitim, that this obligation is not just an individual private one, but we're going to see how this obligation is incumbent upon Beitin. Okay, then we're going to have another section called Tzadek Mishal Chavetein Lo, which is based on the premise that if a measure, a scale, humanly, it won't be possible to get it exactly precise. Should we therefore tip the scale in benefit of the buyer or in benefit of the seller? And the Gemara is going to derive from a special pasuk, Tzadek Mishal Chav Etein Lo. Then we have on the bottom of page 2, Isur Hachzakat Mishkalot Kozvot, the prohibition that enjoins from even owning or possessing these imprecise measures. We're going to talk about two sets of scales on page 3. We're going to then go on to discuss scales in the house, all sorts of measuring rods, and does the Isur apply in the house and under what circumstances. Then on the left column of page 3, Midot Mishkalot She'enam Chatumim B'Teken. Notice there's going to be a supervision that's going to require that measures be certified as precise. And we'll see that Beitin is in charge of making sure to give, you know, we talk about going into a restaurant and looking for a tudat kashrut, a hechsher. The same thing applies to measures. And that's going to be chatumim b'teken. Then on the bottom, we want to know if shimush l'shem mischar, under what circumstances, for example, can I tell the buyer that this is not a precise measurement? And then again, the title of this essay is Nala Dayek, you know, please be meticulous, which we usually use to mean come on time. But here, this whole issue of measures and scales are all about coming on time. Manech shav le'idiyuk, how much, if it's off, is considered a violation of this issue. So let's go back to the beginning of the article. And if you take a look at the first paragraph on the Chumrat Isurei Mishkalot, that's where we want to start. And we're going to say that in Parshas Ki Tse Teitze, the Torah forbids us for the use and possibly even the ownership of inaccurate measures and scales. And the Pasuk says, Lo yelecha bekischa even va'oven. You shall not have in your pouch a stone and another stone. Gedola uktana. A larger one and a smaller one. Lo yelecha beveischa eifa va'eifa. Meaning you can't have in your home, and here was the Torah went out of its way to say beischa, a measure and another measure, gedola uktana. But rather, this is already the positive side of the mitzvah say, even shlema vitzedek yelecha. You should have a perfect and honest stone in your possession. Eifa shlema vitzedek yelecha l'man yarichun yomecha al hadomash Hashem elokech nasan loch. It sounds like this is the precondition to our possession of the land of Israel. So again, the Torah spends so much time here. Again, it's only three psukim, but so many words, each one of which is going to teach us another nuance of the halacha of measures and scales. And I think it's a topic that really deserves some attention of ours. It's hardly ever covered. Now, the sugyas are in Bab Metzia, but the truth is that the Torah, already back in Parshas Kedoshim, as he points out at the end of this paragraph, has already told us, Lo sasu avel b'mishpat b'mida b'mishkol u'misora, that we are already enjoined to guarantee that we don't commit any perversion of justice, avel b'mishpat. And the Torah specifies b'mida b'mishkal, we're talking about length, weight, or volume. And you see that the Torah went out of its way twice, both in Parshas Kedoshim and again a second time Parshas Ki Teitze, to emphasize this. And you'll see that in the next paragraph.
What about time? Is that also
time is not an issue for this topic. You know, again, if you steal someone's time, that's a different issue. But now we're talking about an economic world in which you pervert justice because people come in and they want to buy things. You measure it and it's inaccurate. And therefore, Torah Ekpida, the next paragraph, the Torah is so careful about this. It's so easy to commit these violations with regard to weights and measures. And he says that it's possible that even a very small measure, A corruption, what's called chaf zayin vet, which means kozev, even a very, what you and I would think is such a minor corruption of a scale, so how much already did the buyer lose by it? It's almost a fraction. But here the Torah, as opposed to gzela, is not putting emphasis on what the seller is going to lose, but what the buyer is going to gain. It's interesting. Whereas in the case of Gzela, the focal point of that discussion is what happens to the Nigzal, how much is he getting ripped off, was how much is being stolen from him. In the case of the Iser of Eifa Ve'Eifa, the primary victim, so to speak, or the person that we're addressing in this Iser, is the seller. Because even though he's cheating you a fraction, maybe even less than a fruit of it, imagine if he has hundreds of clients, that all adds up, and eventually he could be making a major profit. If you take a look at, yeah,
if he weighs sapphire with that, right? So even that right. Gram would worth a
correct,
money.
Correct. If he's weighing precious metals, that could be a major, not just a slight loss for the seller, but a major loss for the seller. And here in the next paragraph, he quotes the Sugi Bar Metzia Samach Aleph. The Gemara there, goes into great detail about different ways and variations of how you can cheat someone and make sure that your scales are imprecise. Now, a lot of these cases in the Gemara they come from a different world. It's hard for us to understand. But for example, the Gemara says that if you use the same ropes to measure length during the winter and the summer, you may be cheating the buyer because there are various weather conditions that actually affect the length of that rope. And the Gemara even has a case where they use these metal weights, and if you soak them in salt, the salt eats away at these weights and causes them to be imprecise. So if you take a look a little bit at that paragraph, you'll see Tomein Mishkalot B'melach. Do you see that? On the second line of the paragraph that starts HaGemara B'Metzia. And then he has a case of Modeid, he measures out with the same chevel, the same rope, both in the winter and in the summer months. And all these deviations caused by weather conditions, even though they're very slight, yet the Torah sees that as a very severe violation of this prohibition. On the bottom of page 1, he quotes a modern contemporary posek called the Kesef HaKadashim, who says that this sin is considered even more chamur, how do you say, more severe than other means of deception, because the buyer, when he comes in, he relies on the honesty of the seller. And that's very, very tricky. Okay, let's turn to page 2, and we'll talk about the obligation of Beis Din. In other words, although fundamentally care and meticulous care in with regard to weights and measures is the obligation of the individual, there's another dimension in which it falls on the community, and Beis Din is in charge of regulating weights and measures. And you'll see here in the second paragraph, he quotes Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Lamed Beis. Chayovim Beis Din Lahamid Mimunim. You remember that in Parsha Shoftim, it says Shoftim Ve, what's the next word?
Shotrim.
Shotrim are these Mimunim. They're in charge of executing the law. They are the inspectors and the supervisors. Shahayu Mechazrim Ala Chanuyot. Rabosai, please tell me honestly, did you know this? Am I a total Amoritz? I mean, I was freaked out when I saw the Shulchan Aruch quoted here. Because I never knew that Beis Din is in charge of sending inspectors to go into stores and to make sure to guarantee if there's a Mida Chaseira Mishkal Shacher or Mizlaim Kukolim, Rashoim Lahakoso Ulakonso.
We see that
the full brunt of the lawyer. Yeah, Max.
I imagine modern day society, it's not just a Jewish issue. You see,
no, not at all.
It is with every supermarket that you go to, they weigh the fruit at the checkout, or the LL counter when you go to check in your luggage. They have it certified by the date, inspected as of this date or up until this date. It happens. It's scary if it doesn't happen.
Right.
There's a big scandal in America like 4 or 5 years ago, where there were some pumps, gasoline pumps, that were dishonest.
Oh, right.
They were honest if it was 5 or 10 or 15, as the inspectors do, but if it's in between, it'll be inaccurate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
It speeds up and slows down.
Does that mean here in the shuk, they send people to check in the shuk?
Again, I don't know what they do, Lamaisa. I didn't really get a chance, Aaron, and I apologize, to ask the experts about what goes on tachlis. But according to Halacha, this has to be inspected, and it's not between 5 and 10. It's 5.1. You know, it's got to be the exact measure. The accuracy has to be absolutely perfect. Otherwise, the storekeepers are cheating, and they're cheating the whole system. But it's interesting how, which I didn't know, that they send these inspectors to go into stores and check it. And he quotes another halacha here from the Takanot B'Yisrael, which is the legal, the legal body of inspection. He says, "Hamunim al zet tielahem tamid amach suma." No, they have to have this kind of a stamp. And he talks about the fact that every quarter of a year they have to go by and they have to put a stamp that testifies the fact that they supervise, that the eifah is an eifah tzedek. And that's what we have over here. Now, let me just say a few things that you won't find here on the page that I wanted to summarize here. Number one, if a seller uses imprecise weights and measures, instead of giving someone, for example, 5 ounces of apples that the buyer paid for, he gives them 4.8 ounces. Okay? And you can ask the question, isn't this theft? Why do I need a special prohibition of the Torah? And the Gemara gives the following answer, that the Torah says that even the creation of these measures, these false measures, is a violation of this Isur. So we go back to the pasuk that we saw in Vayikra on page 1, where the Torah says, Lo Tasu, and the Gemara in Bava Metzia on page Samach Aleph that we saw derives Lo Sasu, that there's an injunction that forbids even the creation of these false measures. The Sefer HaChinuch adds something very fascinating. And I'm going to quote the English translation. He says, we are prohibited from keeping false weights and scales in our homes. Okay, Bebeischa, remember we were Dayak. Even though we do not do business with them, but lest they become a stumbling block before us, and I want to analyze what that means, a stumbling block. If it's in my house, why is that a stumbling block? And apparently, as we'll soon see in the Rambam, that the Rambam maintains that you never know when you might do limited business in your house. You know, somebody comes in and says, you know, give me a pound of potatoes. So you weigh off a pound of potatoes and your local home measure is not precise. That's a stumbling block.
Wouldn't Gezel not apply if it was like a Sheva Pruta difference? Less than a Sheva Pruta?
Well, less than a Sheva Pruta means that he might not be able to demand his money in return, but there's still a lot of Gezel even on a Pachos V'Sheva Pruta, even on a Mashu.
Right, they said something that says that during the Mabul time, right? So they were the tzviya on them.
Excellent.
Like many people took less than shavu'ot from one person, and then he got like a.
He became absolutely poor.
Right.
So again, keep in mind that the pasuk that we're dealing with in Parshas Ki Tetzé says Eifa Gedola Viktana. The Torah went out of its way to mention that it's even if it's a small measure, meaning it's in your home, how much already or how often do you measure it? Interesting that the Sefer Achinuch uses the term stumbling block. Correct?
I understood the pasuk differently, that a person has like this unscrupulous person has a heavy weight and a light weight. And when he goes to buy something, he uses the heavy weight. And when he goes to sell something, he uses the light.
Right. But keep in mind, Jonathan, that the Torah repeats itself twice. Did you notice that? Yes. Let's go back to the pasuk again. I'm sorry, I don't have a chumash. It would be a lot easier in a chumash. But it says, Evan v'Evan gedolu k'tana, and then again it repeats itself, Eifa gedolu k'tana. So Chazal say that the extra k'tana is a reference to Lo'iya v'Beischa, which again, according to the Sefer Chinuch, I wanted to point out to you, it's called a stumbling block, a michshol. Now that's very fascinating because the Rambam, which you'll see on the bottom of page 2, Kol Misha Masha Bebeso, this is Rambam in the 7th Perek of Hilchos Gneva, if anyone keeps in his house an imprecise measure, Obe Chanuso, and you wonder why the Rambam had to add the word Chanuso if he's already said Beso, Lozu Afzu, Mida Chasera, and we're turning to page 3, O Mishkal Chaser, Over Belosase, he violates a Losase. And you'll find this also codified in the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Siman Reish Lamed Aleph. So again, the Rambam is clear that we're talking about transgressing this Avera because of a possession, right? Kol Misha Masha Bebeso. By the way, if you possess an imprecise measure in your house, would you get Malkus for that? What do I see in the word Masha? Correct, it's a lav shem bo maisa. Like the Rama writes in Hilchas Chometz Matzah, Hamasha Chometz Bebeso over Bishnei Lavim, but he doesn't get Malkus because it's a lav shem bo maisa. Okay, that doesn't make me very happy, you know, the fact that I don't get Malkus, I mean, but I'm still violating a law. But I just find it interesting, this concept of a michshol.
Well, it's going to be a big difference if it's intentionally or just sitting in your house and you never check them.
Right. But again, if you're ignorant of the law, that might be a shogig situation.
But do you have to go and check all your scales and make sure they're perfect?
That's what we want to see. But one thing I want to claim to you is that ignorance is not bliss in this case. Because ignorance of the law is only a shogig.
But you know the law.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you don't know.
I don't know. The question is, do you have to go and check all your scales and everything you have in your house?
Okay, so that's why I want to get at it today, Shia, that there are halachas here. You know, we live a laid back life, but it's not so simple.
But what if you want to dafka leave the bathroom one lighter, so your wife thinks, you know.
Okay, good. Shalom bayis, right? Yeah. You don't want to know how much she weighs. So I'm just saying, okay, fine.
But where's the Rambam take it that is about mash and about acquiring or like making it by hand?
That's the sugyan bab metziah on daf samachay. I'm sorry, Samach Aleph, I'm sorry. So let's just see what we can accomplish in the next few minutes, okay? Do you see on page 3, Shnei Sugim Shel Mishkalot B'Chanut, okay? There are some stores, not all stores, have two sets of scales, okay? Take a look inside. Now, sometimes, for example, at the cashier, that's what Max was mentioning before, the scale is absolutely precise. Okay, the fancy English word for that is calibrated, with great precision. Calibrated. I'm not familiar with the word. How would you translate calibrated? To calculated?
Like
it's the same. All right, see if you, okay, good. Thank God we have.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And send me a send me a video. Okay. But with no shotguns in the back. Okay, fine. So anyway, so there are other scales that are used for custom use. Have you seen that?
For custom use?
Yeah. For example, you're in the back of this, you know, gigantic supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to know, Barak, how many potatoes you're buying so that when you get up to the front, they'll measure it. Interesting. You and I would say there's no problem with these imprecise scales in the back that are only for customer use. But guess what? We're going to see soon that although imprecise scales are not used for actually buying and selling, nevertheless, their presence in the store involves a full prohibition of the Isur. The prohibition applies even to measures that aren't in use, but simply because you have them in your possession.
L'chayel.
Oh, l'chayel. Okay. Does that help me at all? I mean, any Israelis here that can help me with the word l'chayel?
Yeah.
It's with a chet?
No.
A chaf. Okay, it makes sense. Kalib. It's got a C and a chaf, yeah. Right?
You can't calibrate.
And what does l'chayel mean?
Calibrate.
I know what it means, lehit chayel. I had to do that too many times.
That's the chet.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Well, what's lehit chayel with the chaf?
It just means.
Sometimes you'll have on a scale, like especially the home scale, you'll have like a knob at the bottom that you can like turn and you can make it like a kilo more or a kilo less.
Gotcha.
To reset it.
You can reset it to zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, but those scales in the grocery store that are for you to use before you buy, they write on them like plus minus 10%.
Okay.
So
okay, good, excellent. Okay, we're going to get to that. But first, I want to show you that the Rambam writes, again, it's a little embarrassing to read this, Rafa, but the Rambam writes, which is under the paragraph that says Mishkalotu midot hamisiot babayit, that afilu lasot hamida avit shel meme raglayim asur. He doesn't use it for sale purposes, not commercial. Imagine the guy uses this for measuring things that have, you know, maybe for medical purposes. So, but he may, you know, in a pinch, he may not have another scale. Even that, you're not allowed to keep in your possession.
It sounds like he took the tool and I don't know, maybe like broke it in a way that he can use it for something else, while someone from the outside can take it and actually use it for the purpose it used to being used as a kilo, 2 kilo.
Okay.
The Rambam means daraisa.
What about your watch?
The Rabban. That's, he says in the next paragraph, he quotes the Minchas Chinuch that the Rambam is talking about an Isur Durabbanon, and that's where what you said before, Aaron, is going to come in, that if there's an indication that it's not precise, that might be enough to remove the Isur Durabbanon. So again, if you have scales in your house that generally are not used for commercial purposes, you're not allowed to possess them, but that Isur is only Durabbanon because we're afraid you might want to use them in a pinch as a scale, or somebody might come in and think they're precise. But since it's only Durabbanon, we're going to find certain kulos, which means that if you put a stamp on it, that it's not precise. Again, we have to see exactly what that stamp is. It's got to be permanent, but a permanent stamp, that could alleviate this Isur Durabbanon. And here he quotes an Evan Elazar. You know, that was the Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer. How many of you heard of him? Just out of curiosity, yeah. He was the, what?
Metzger?
Meltzer. Yeah, Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer.
His grandson has a Shulman Beit Dagon.
Really? Yeah, his son-in-law was Rav Aaron Kotler, you know, the Rashiv of Lakewood. So he writes, "Mitoltiv Ramashi Mashma Shekolal Iser Mishkol Shenasa Bitzurus Ovid Bichlal Ikara Iser." So imagine the Evin Ozel is in disagreement with the Minchas Chinuch. He reads the Rambam to say that the Rambam is extending the fundamental Iser Doraisa to include even measures and scales which are not clearly not designated for use in commerce. Fine. So that's going to be a machlokas, whether it's Doraisa or Derabbana. The Minchas Chinuch apparently is being meticulous in the language of the Rambam, because the Rambam's language is Shema. You see that Rambam? Shema Yovo Misheni Odea. So Shema is usually indicative of an Iser Derabbana. I have here a quote that'll in a sense scare you, at least it scares me, from the Ben Ish Chai. You know, the Ben Ish Chai writes in his commentary on the Torah that somebody in possession of imprecise measurements transgresses a Torah prohibition every single moment, even during the Eil of Yom HaKippur. That was his way of emphasizing this. So just possession of an imprecise scale or measure is an ongoing avera every single second. Okay, now here we get to the following question. There are legal standards and supervision of weights and measures, and it's clearly marked on the scale with a certification. If a person has an uncertified scale, what kind of prohibition would that be? Again, since everyone knows that it's only considered reliable if it has the stamp, then if this one is inaccurate but it doesn't have the stamp, it doesn't bear the relevant stamp of approval, then there's no chance of deception. Would it be mutter to have such a scale? And the answer would probably be no, because again, you saw in the Rambam that even scales that are absolutely designated for other things other than customers and commerce, nevertheless you can't have them in your possession. But on the other hand, if you would put a stamp on it that says that they're inaccurate, that would make it okay. Would it be so that since every weight and measure has to be stamped, and the absence of the stamp would itself be proof positive that it's inaccurate? In other words, what I'm questioning here is the kumbase versus the shave vialtas. In other words, do I have to actively put a stamp on it that says this is an inaccurate scale, or is it enough that all the accurate scales have to have a certification on it?
Isn't it like as long as you communicate, you know, to the one that may be using it about the status of it, right? No matter if, you know, what way you do it, if you like, you know, like why would it matter if you actually write it or not write it?
When you say communicate, you don't mean verbally communicate.
Right, either write it or not write it.
Okay, so take a look. He quotes the Minchas Shlomo of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. This is on the left column of page 3. Do you have that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wait, could you write inaccurate and use it for the one you're selling with?
No.
Could you write on the scale, this scale is inaccurate?
No.
And use it to...
That would be a violation of a Doraisa.
So you're communicating clearly that it's inaccurate.
That would be Gezel.
Yeah, okay, call it Gezel.
Okay.
I was wondering, Tag, what you did in the last couple of weeks while he was busy getting married. Okay, so let's take a look at this tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. You have this? So that's on the left column on page 3. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked to address the status of a baby scale. You know, the people have in their homes scale while the child is growing. They want to measure his weight. And it's very important. You know, you go to Tipat Chalav, you want to know whether to go to Tipat Chalav or not, although sometimes you have to go whether you have to with or without the scale. So he comes up with a possibility of a kula. Based on a Gemara in Baba Basra, the Gemara says, and it's brought down by the Raman Hilchas Gneva, that there are certain places in which the law requires all commercial scales to be stamped with a stamp of approval. And therefore, by keeping an inaccurate scale and measure, it's obvious that since it doesn't bear the stamp of approval, it is not accurate. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that if we have, he calls them everyday weights and measures, in other words, when you look at them, you realize that they're not precise. Like, you know, when you weigh a baby, who's to tell you that it's precise? He says it's equivalent to the absence of an official stamp, which indicates to anybody that it shouldn't be employed for commerce purposes, and therefore it becomes obvious from the appearance of a measure that it's not accurate. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch relies on this rationale under the assumption that the prohibition of keeping inaccurate measures at home when they're not being used for commerce is only derabbanan. And he predicates himself on the Minchas Chinuch. We saw that the Evan Ozel disagrees. But if the Rambam with the word Shema is indicating that we're dealing with not a Torah prohibition but only a derabbanan, then the absence of an official stamp of approval would be enough to make it crystal clear that we could never ever use this for commercial purposes. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch wants to go a little bit further, and he wants to suggest that permitting imprecise home scales would not apply to tape measures. Because he says that a tape measure doesn't generally get an official stamp of approval, so if the absence doesn't prove a thing.
Was it tape measure? A meter, sorry.
The spinning one. And then baby scales or baby bottles, he says it's not easy to distinguish between precise or professional. I'm sorry, let me get that again. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out that in the case of a meter, unlike baby scales or baby bottles, it's not easy to distinguish between precise or professional tape measures and those that are improfessional and imprecise, meaning everybody uses a meter. So you pull out a meter, you know, you don't know whether it's the official, you know, professional meter or not. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, with regard to a tape measure, a meter, leaves this whole question unanswered. Now, again, I don't know if somebody could clue me in on this. When you buy a meter in a store, or when you own a meter at home, do you have to, I mean, how would you know whether it's precise or not precise?
They say plus minus.
Oh, like, they do?
Yeah, I have friends of mine who are contractors.
Wow.
They have like really exact ones that are accurate to like a centimeter.
Yeah.
So are you saying that as a general rule, if let's say I was hiring you to, you know, to make drapes for me or windows and something, you would measure, I would only buy from you if I saw that it said precise on the tape measure? Is that the...
I think that in general, our definition of what precise is like an order of magnitude more than like what it was 2 millennia ago. That even the least accurate tape measure...
Being accurate like to the millimeter is way more than...
It would make a difference for you if your window is millimeter smaller.
Sure.
Also, like when they built the window, it was probably off.
It was probably off.
Yeah, because they probably used the meter that was
the same meter that you.
So then it might be off by times two. Then
yeah,
it
was like a half meter. At least an extra 10 cents.
Yes.
Okay, my friends, I just want to add two things, and then I'll take questions, and those who have to go can go. Number one, which I can't find now, of course, the question is, who gains, the buyer or the seller? Can somebody find that in the pages? See, I know they're here. Hain Sedek, where was that?
That was page two.
Page two?
Yeah, the middle part.
Okay, great. So if you take a look at page two... Sorry. What I do with this, of course, when you need it, you can't find it.
Wasn't the issue.
So on page two, Tzadek Mishalcha V'tein Lo, the Rambam Paskin said, in order to guarantee that the buyer will not suffer any loss whatsoever, we should tip the scale in favor of the buyer. Minayin Shechayev HaMocher L'Achriya L'lokeach b'eis sheshokel o shenemar ebzadem v'tzadek mishalcha v'teimlo v'kama So how much of an increase or an increment do I have to give, do I have to guarantee to the buyer? So the Rambam says, Balach, if we're dealing with liquids, Echad Lemea means 1%. Biyavesh, it's 1 over 400. Ketzad, Machalo Eser Litrin Lach, Nosenlo Girumin, which means an addition of Echad Measara Belitra. Okay, so that's 1/10 of a litra. In Machalo Esrim Litrim Yavesh, no saying low, how much of an addition is get echad mi esrim belitra. That's a ratio of 1 over 400. And this means that the mocher has to suffer a loss in every single measure in order to guarantee, even though his scales are precise, that there should be no loss on the part of the buyer. So that's one thing that I wanted to call to your attention. And last but not least, again, we're just fast-forwarding to the summary, which is on page 4, so we get at least a little bit of an overview of what we covered today. It is forbidden for a store owner to possess an inaccurate mishkal. Okay. Gam im mishkal eino mishamish litzorach mechiro, so litzorach medidas halakuchos, even if the store owner designates these scales not for purpose of selling, but for other purposes, like we said, to allow the buyer to weigh what he has to. K'mochein, in addition, he says, also lahachzik v'bayis, you can't possess in your house weights or scales that are not precise. Kishe chazutam kikli medida miktzoyim, if they look or they appear to be precise, actually miktzoyim means professional, okay, not professional. With regard to the cases of baby bottles, bathroom scales, and the like, the poskim claim that if their appearance makes it obvious that they're not precise, as when you look at them, you assume that they're not precise, they don't have any certification. Okay, that's what you mentioned before. By the way, most cases the husband gains weight after marriage. Just warning. Okay, so in all these cases, like a marked baby bottle or a bathroom scale and so forth and so on, the appearance gives us the impression, and it's obvious that they're not precise. They're imprecise. And we can rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in this case. Not everyone agreed with him. And finally, in the last paragraph, we have home measures and weights. Medida bebeitim, beitim. But if you have in your house measures that the appearance is not indicating accuracy, for example, look at the examples he gives, Rabos, because this is what I want you to take out of our discussion today, Aloch Lamaiser. He speaks about Mishkal Mitbach. You're talking about
kitchen scales,
electric, usually they're electric. Meter, we spoke about the tape measures. Vechadome. Roy lahak b'chiyah mishkal meduyak b'ramah mikubelet. Okay, every society is going to have to determine what is considered accurate. If a mishkal choreg mirat diuk zeh, if on the other hand the instrument deviates from the standards for precision, then ra'ui, it's appropriate lirshom alav tevat lo meduyak, to mark the instrument with the words inaccurate, bitsura boletet. And if government regulation of measures applies and the measures must be marked by a stamp of approval, then there's room to be makil in every situation, even within a professional environment, with regard to inaccurate scales that do not have the stamp of approval. So again, with regard to the scale in the back of the supermarket, if it's crystal clear to the buyers that since it doesn't have the stamp of approval like the one up front does, but again, I never paid attention to this, but Max, you're telling me that if I look carefully, there would be a stamp of approval?
Absolutely.
And that's all over the world? I mean, the Western world.
From
the Islamic State.
In the
Red
District, you lose a hand.
That's right. Yeah. A lot more than a hand, I'm afraid. I wouldn't want to tell you what kind of... What?
Every single cash register at the supermarket, it'll have the same.
And he says that according to the Tekken, they have to check four times a year.
That
would depend on the law of the land, I guess. Yeah.
I listened to this podcast about a kilogram. Apparently kilograms, there's a one object in France that's the kilogram.
That's a what kilogram?
That is the definition.
Definition of a kilogram.
And it's stored in this like air sealed room under glass, and it's measured five times a year. It's like this whole like...
It's behind glass in the Louvre?
No, it's like it's in the French Center for Measures. Like it's like in a bunker underground.
Because what's a kilogram? Where did it start?
And it then, started with drugs, probably.
And then every continent has another kilogram that's based on this kilogram. It's like this whole like crazy thing.
It's like a physical... Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to do everything here, but I think we accomplished quite a bit. I mean, we get the feeling for what this mitzvah is all about. And, you know, next time we get together, we'll do the other 73 mitzvahs.
Isn't it odd that we go over like how important it is to be like metactic and to have like a certain amount of diuk? But like every other measure in the Torah, like a tefach or an amma, like those depending on who you are is a different measure. So, like,
well, you mean Molly Lugma, for example, depends on who you are. Like Og Melech HaBoshan has a gigantic
right. So here it's all about diuk and having good measures.
But these are objective because
no, but there's volume. Volume here could be, you know, if
volume is objective. Volume is objective. You come in and you want a certain volume of a liquid. You know, that's what you want to get.
Okay, but what if I sell you a box and that box is a tefach by a tefach? I measured it, it's a tefach by a tefach. And you come and you're like, this is less than my tefach because my tefach is different.
Do you know that there are, again, I assume in every Western country, but in the United States, there are major cases that come up where you buy a bottle of, I don't know, Coke, and it's not filled. You know, they claim that they're giving you 15 ounces, and lo and behold, they're not.
Every item in the supermarket, everything you buy is a liter of this, a kilogram of that.
That's all legal in nature. You know, they have to come up.
Every item in the supermarket.
But boss, I know you have to go, but I need you for 1 minute. And that is...